Good morning. It's good to see you all, and it's good to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 54 through 60. I'm going to read, and I'd like to ask those of you to stand that can. Acts 7, 54 through 60. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray today that we will be like Stephen. That, Father, we will witness. That we will speak your word with no boundaries and not caring, Father, what others think or what they might do to us. But Lord, let us do it that we are pleasing you, Heavenly Father, that we are doing what you have called us to do. And I pray today, dear God, that Lord, you would give us the power, give us the might, and give us the abilities, Father, to be effective in living our lives for you and telling the lost about Jesus. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to reflect on something here a moment about Stephen's life. As I have studied about Stephen and his life and the things that happened that we just read in Scripture, I found some comparisons where Stephen's life and death pretty closely resemble what Jesus went through. Now see what was happening here. Stephen had been preaching to the Sanhedrin and they were filled with evil. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord preached. And they went against Stephen, drove him out. And this is what I like about Stephen. Stephen, I like to say he had a strong Christian backbone. Stephen, he had a respectful fear of God. And Stephen's life was so connected with God that I believe that Stephen, that's why I called this message Standing on Holy Ground. Probably when you hear that message, you're thinking back to Moses when God told Moses, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. But I believe that Stephen, in his witness during this time, he was definitely in the presence of the Lord, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was working in him and he was preaching the word. So the presence of the Lord was all around and Stephen was on holy ground. And what I like about Stephen, he didn't let the outside influences stop him from doing what God had called him to do. As we look at the life and death of a man who was willing to do whatever it was necessary to stand strong for the glory of God. We know that Stephen, he was an early deacon, one of the first deacons actually of the early church. And we saw in him an example for all of us to follow. And here's that example. He let Jesus shine. That's all he did. He didn't have any special schooling. All he did was he submitted to the Lord. That's all he did. And that's what God wants every single one of us to do as Christians. God wants us to submit. You know what submit means? Give it all up to Him. Now, if we're going to live for God, we have to give 100% to God. We can't give 80% and hold on to 20% and try to control an area of our life and expect it to go smoothly. It won't. Now, giving God 100% control, things still won't go smooth in life because, as I've said before, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But if He is with us, we know that we can depend on Him, and we know that He will walk with us, and we know that He will guide us, and He will give us the power that we need to be witnesses. We need to let Jesus shine in our hearts and lives. And like we sang a while ago, people will know that we are Christians by our love. I tell you what, people will know who you are if you're in Christ Jesus. They'll know whether you're real or whether we're fake. They do. The lost know it. They see it. We don't realize how people observe us. We don't really think deep enough about how people study us. Now, quite a few years back, I thought that I wanted to get back into police work, just part-time. And I talked to Janine about it, and she said, well, I think you ought to go and try it. Well, so I go to Energy Police Department, and I filled out the application, turned it all in, and I got a call about 3 days later, and the sergeant said, I want you to come up here. We want to meet with you. Okay, I did. And next thing I know, I'm getting fit with my uniform and my bulletproof vest. And I still had all my gear from, you know, back when. And anyway, I went on duty for my first time, and I had to ride with somebody to kind of learn all the in and outs of the village. But here's the funny thing. All these police officers that I work with, they found out I was a preacher. Well, you know what they started calling me? They started calling me Father. And I said, don't call me Father. I said, only God is Father. So then they started calling me what? They'd say, hey, well, hey, preacher, are we going to have communion this weekend? They would make all, but you know, I didn't let that affect me. I didn't let that change my witness. I still walked and served the Lord. And one night, I was sitting there with, I'll just say Sergeant Rob. I won't say his name. He's still a friend of mine. But Sergeant Rob, I was working with him one night, and he goes, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And he just said, when are you going home tonight? What time are you off? I said, well, I'm done at 2:00 in the morning. He goes, oh, good. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, he said, I want to say something to you. And he said, I don't mean this in a bad way. But he said, us as cops, we like a little action. And he said, every time you work, he said, nothing happens. That's what he said to me. And now he was a non-Christian, and this was his words to me. And I had never thought about this. But he said, when I look at you, I see like a white cloud of protection around you. And he said, nothing ever happens until you go home. He said, actually, if you want, you can go home early tonight. He said, I'd like to have a little bit of action. And I said, well, gee, thanks a lot for the love, you know. And he said, no, we do. We like you a lot. But he said, there's something about you. And I told him, I said, that is God. That is God's protection. And I never even really thought about it. And as time went on, I came home one night. Janine said, there's something different about you. She said, you're not very happy. What's going on? And I said, well, dear, I thought I really wanted to get back into this work, and I'm trying to show the love of the Lord, but I'm not enjoying it. And she says, quit. I said, gladly I will. So I turned in, and I was, you know, I was still working full-time too. So I just went to the chief, and he said, chief is a good friend of mine. He said, it's all right, Jim. If you ever want to come back, you'll always have a place. Well, I ain't never going back to the uniform. So anyway, I just said that to say that people will know you by your fruits. They'll know you by your life and how you walk. I'm not perfect. I am not. Do I fail God? Yes, I do. But one thing I do know, I love the Lord, and I don't care who's around. I will preach the Word of God. I don't care if people heckle me or make fun of me, because I know that what the Lord has laid upon my heart, I want to share it because I love others. And that's what Stephen had. See, Stephen trusted God in the face of lies. In Acts 6:11, I'm going to read this real quick. Just got to go back one page here. Acts 6:11 says, then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They were lying against Stephen. And they did the same thing to Jesus. They lied against Jesus. So here's one comparison. When you're doing right and you're living for God, people will lie about you to try to turn others against you. That's exactly what they were doing to Stephen. You know what? You could be the greatest person in the world, and you can love others, but there are wolves out there who are ready to devour you, and they will lie to others to make you look bad, but instead, they're making themselves look horrible. You know, I've always said, people who stand around and badmouth others and put people down, they're the ones with the problem. And it's a heart problem. They need Jesus in their heart. And it happens, sadly, it happens with Christians too. Because we have this little thing in our mouth called a tongue, and it's filled with poison. And you know what it says in the book of James? With it, we bless God, but we curse those around us. And it doesn't happen. So people are always going to speak, evil people are going to speak lies against God's people to try to make them look bad. And I've had people in churches say all kind of bad things because they wanted to get me out of the church. They didn't want me there. They said they didn't want somebody who is so filled with the Spirit. Well, I wasn't trying to do any, you know, I wouldn't. I don't go into churches and try to be this Pentecostal or apostolic thing, whatever. I believe that the power of the Lord is upon me, and I'll preach the Word as the Spirit moves, but I'm not going to give you some act, and I'm not going to try to speak in a way that's not of the Lord. And that's what Stephen did. Stephen preached the Word of the Lord wherever, and he was preaching to these Sanhedrin, and boy, they just went against him with every gun and every bit of ammunition that they had because they hated so much, they were so full of evil and sin, they couldn't see the goodness of God inside of him. Now, secondly, Stephen looked to heaven in prayer. And And do you remember what Jesus did on the cross? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he also had looked into the heaven to speak to God the Father. So there's another comparison. He looked to heaven in prayer. And I read to you in the Bible that it said, Stephen looked up and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God. And here's what I believe that Stephen was seeing. He was seeing Jesus intervening to the Father on his behalf. I believe that. And I also believe that Jesus was saying to God the Father, forgive those people because they don't know what they're doing. The same thing he said when he died on the cross as he was dying. Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. That's love. That's what I want in my life. I pray every day, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. Help me to be more loving. But Lord, help me to look to you even more in this life. Because see, if we'll cast our eyes toward heaven a lot more and bow our hearts before the Lord and ask Him to fill us, I believe that we'll see the work of the Lord in our life, just as Stephen did. Thirdly, Stephen didn't go along to get along. And that's what Jesus did. Wherever Jesus went, he would go to some of the foulest places and he would hang out with some of the most foulest people. Do you remember how they used to mock Jesus when he would be sitting with certain people and he wasn't trying to buddy up with them and he wasn't trying to be a part of the social club and he sure wasn't trying to live like they were living. Jesus went and had fellowship with these kind of people because he wanted their life to be changed. When he went to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus was a tax collector and a cheat. And after Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, oh, everybody just, what's Jesus doing with him? He's a crook. And in the midst of all that, when Zacchaeus and his whole household got saved, Zacchaeus gave back more than what he took from people because his heart and life was changed. So I want to say this. As a Christian, make sure that your good friends and people you hang out with are of God. Now, I've heard people say this. I can be a Christian and I can still hang out with my old friends and be all right. No, it's not. You can't live for God and shake hands with the devil at the same time. You just can't. You can't. Light has no business fellowshipping with the darkness. They don't belong together. You need to hang out with people who are walking in Christ. And why? Because God will put people in your life that will be a support to you. They'll pray for you. They'll minister to you. They'll be a witness to you. They'll help you grow in your life. They will share things from their heart to help encourage you and push you on. But if you hang out in the darkness, if you hang out with the worldly friends, you know what you're going to do? You're going to act just like them. You're never going to grow. I had a fella that I talked to, a good friend of mine from Heron, and he told me, he said, do you know what it's like working in the coal mines? And I said, no, because I've never worked in them. I probably don't want to either. I don't like being underground. The only way I want to be underground is when they lay this old body down 6 feet under. That's the only time I want to be underground. So, but he said, it's terrible. He said, boy, the jokes they tell, they make fun of you for being a Christian. He said, I don't think I was in the right job. I said, God must have put you there for a reason to be a witness. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, oh, I'm in the wrong place. I can't believe God put me there. God's not going to put you in a perfect place, number one. If God sees your heart, you know what He's trying to do? God will put you in a difficult place because He's wanting you to surrender and submit to Him so He can work through you to make a difference in the life of those folks that you're around, that you're serving. Because you never know whose life and heart you're going to touch. Now, I went into a church that, and hey, they wanted me to be their interim pastor, and so I did. I drove all the way to Wayne City every Sunday, 1 hour and 20 minutes one way. And Janine and I would spend all day there, and we had to go back and preach Sunday night and then turn around and drive all the way back home at night. And I found this out. Oh, people treated us really good. Oh, they wanted me to be their pastor. And we need to vote this guy in. But there was a group of folks that had another whole plan in place. And I knew that God didn't want me there. I thought that was the play. I did. I thought that's where I would end up. I was thinking to myself, man, this is a great church. But you know what I found out? God only had me there for a select time to help be an example. And I made some very close friends there. I made some dear, dear friends with one of the deacons and his wife. And I love them to pieces. They're good folk. But I found this out. God had a whole different plan in store for my life. And you'll find that out too when you walk alongside of Him. And I'll go to places, I guarantee you, I'll go to some church, I'll go to hang out places to be a witness or to minister and encourage, and I guarantee you that not everybody's going to like me, and that's all right. Because you know what? They have to stand before the Lord. I just have to answer for me and what I do. Now, Stephen had put his life in God's hands. He just trusted God all the way around. His faith didn't waver. He didn't question. He just said, and who else did it? Jesus. Jesus trusted His Father. And Jesus trusted His Father with everything. I know Jesus said, Father, here I am, use me today. And I know that's what Stephen did. And I know that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to say, Father, here I am. Use me. Take me, Lord. I want to see You do great things with my life. You know, I don't know from week to week. I don't know what happens in life, where I'll be, whatever. I just have to live for today. And I have to trust God by faith with everything. This morning, I had to go visit. I visited with a friend of mine, and he's older, he's having some health issues, but I love him. He's a good man. And you know, sometimes we don't know what kind of situations or what kind of conversations we'll be in, but this one thing we do know, we have to have the Word and the love of the Lord ready in our hearts to minister and to encourage others. Because, you know, if God puts us in place and puts us in line with somebody else, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what's going on in their life. All we know is we just have to say, Father, use me, help me to help them. And that's why I'm so glad, so thankful that people in this church are always so ready to give of themselves for somebody else. I'll say this over, you may get tired of hearing it Sunday after Sunday, and I can't help it, but when you minister and encourage to people at the funeral dinners, at the yard sales, whatever, the shoe boxes, now I want you to know this. I firmly believe when those shoe boxes go to other countries, to other kids, I really do believe that they know. We may not think about it, but I do believe in their heart, they know that a good Christian church sent that stuff. And I know and believe that they're feeling the love of the Lord because of what we did for them in love. Stephen's heart didn't turn to stone. See, Stephen fell on his knees and he's asking God. He says, Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. How many of you have had somebody do something wrong against you and you got mad at them, and maybe today you're still mad at them and holding unforgiveness? Well, you know what that's going to cause? That's going to cause a big rift. That's going to cause a big divide between you and God. And because if we're holding on to unforgiveness, He can't work in our life. But Stephen, I mean, these people lied against him. They mocked him, ridiculed him, probably cussed him out. I don't know, but I'm sure they probably did. Spoke some pretty profane things. And they're throwing rocks at him because they want him dead. They drove him out of the city. And they're throwing big rocks at him. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just like Jesus. How many times are we willing to forget about ourselves and make the sacrifice and say, Lord, I know that somebody did something bad against me, or they spoke something that was a lie or something ill, but I forgive them. And Lord, I pray that you will forgive them, and God, that you'll touch their heart. And I pray, Lord, that either you will use me to get to them, or that you'll put someone in their path that they'll get saved. See, that's how we're supposed to live life. We're always supposed to be loving and forgiving. Now, I've had people step on my toes when I served as pastor. And I tell you what, sometimes I've had to stand my ground, and I had to do it in love. And sometimes I had to be a little bit like Jesus when he overturned the money changers and the tables in the temple. He took the whip, and he did. He turned tables over. He drove people out. And there's been times that I've had to stand firm as a Christian and defend myself. But you know what? I've always forgiven, and I've always asked God to make a change in that person's life and either use me to do it or use someone else. And I tell you what, God has always made something happen. I had a situation some years back that it wasn't good. I had a guy in a church. Man, he was dead set against me being there, and he did. Just like they did to Stephen, man, there was lies. There was somebody come up, said something else, and he got a few other people on his side. Man, they wanted to drive me out of there. And you know what I did? I just left. The Lord said, it's time for you to go. And I had another preacher friend of mine who didn't even know what was going on, said, I've been praying for you. It's time for you to get out of there. Now you tell me that's not God. So I left, and then later down the years down the road, I'm walking into a store down by the Lake of Egypt one evening, far, far away from where this person lived, and guess who I saw in the aisle of that store at the Lake of Egypt? I couldn't believe it. Well, at first the devil said, well, you're mad at him, remember? Now remember what he did to you. Remember what he said. Remember how he drove you out. Don't speak to him and don't give him the time of day. Well, I looked at him and I just nodded, said hello. And I really didn't, myself, my physical fit flesh, didn't want to have any interaction. But all of a sudden, he stopped and goes, Jim, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. Stood there and talked to him. And then I started to realize that by showing him love, that was the only way I was going to have any profound impact on his life. Don't know how he is today, but I still pray for that man. And Stephen's sacrifice, it was holy ground. His life was a sacrifice, but you know, he did it with all his heart. You ever heard the word gusto? Has anybody ever heard the word gusto? I used to hear that on ABC's Wide World of Sports. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. And everybody, every time you hear somebody talk, well, hey, they had the gusto. Well, how many of us are going to have the gusto to have our lives as a living sacrifice? That's what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody with spiritual gusto, spiritual power, somebody who's willing to be like Stephen. Are you willing to be like Stephen? Are you willing to make that kind of an impact? Are you willing to risk it all for Jesus? Or do you just want to go through life? Kind of him hot. All I want to do, I got saved. I don't want no more. Yeah, I just want to get my fire insurance covered. That's all. That's sadly how a lot of people live. I don't want that. I want to go full throttle, full forward force to do what the Lord wants me to do. Do I agree a lot of times with things the Lord says? No, I don't like it, but I have to say, yes, Lord, have thine own way. So you move, and he always shows me what I didn't see at the beginning. That's like when I was learning pre-algebra. Oh, I couldn't stand algebra. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it beforehand. I looked at the book and I thought, what is all this stuff? I can't figure that out. I didn't know nothing from Adam on that. But as I learned pre-algebra and I learned the calculations and I learned how to do the problems, and when I had the knowledge, I was able to do it and I made a pretty good grade. And you know what I did? When I was pastoring full-time, a Christian school asked me if I would come in and do some teaching some. Sure, I never taught school, but hey. So they had the Abeka. Anybody ever heard of the Abeka curriculum for homeschool? Well, the Christian school used the Abeka curriculum. And I got to teach math. And you know what I got to teach? One pre-algebra. Oh my goodness. I never thought from learning it in college that I would, some years down the road, I don't remember how many times I used to say, well, I don't know why I have to learn that. I ain't never going to use it. How many times have we said that to God? Well, Lord, I don't want to have to do this. I'll never have to do it in real life. I don't want to learn that. You never know what God's going to put you in or where He's going to place you. So, are you going to be like Stephen? You want to have that kind of heart? I hope you do today.